Hi, it's Brock Romanek, editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here with my good friend Chris Vico, who's founder of the Vico Group, which is a corporate governance consulting firm. Chris is an expert, you know, after having been in-house for many, many years. I know personally of a number of people that I've sent Chris's way that have been very happy with her work, so I highly recommend her. And we're going to talk today about board succession because it continues to be a hot topic. So, Chris, what should boards be thinking about when they're doing their own succession planning?
Thank you, Brock. Well, you know, companies change and strategies change, and boards really need to change with them, either by adding particular expertise or perspective to the board, or even moving an unproductive board member off of the board. A director on a friend's board said not long ago, the speed of business today has changed what's required of board members. So boards may recognize the importance of CEO succession planning, but they're equally responsible for their own succession or self-renewal planning. I think they do think about this when a board member leaves or in anticipation of a planned retirement, but that's a narrow focus. And succession planning is a broader one, not just in response to an event. I'm talking about proactively considering, what can be done to make the board itself more effective, both currently and in the future. And as with most things, having a plan for board succession allows for a smoother transition than just responding to a particular event. Also, increasingly investors are looking at board composition, and in some cases raising the issue with the company. For example, when a company isn't doing well or excessive executive compensation has caught their attention, investors look more closely at board composition, and they question whether the board has the right membership. CalSTRS doesn't hesitate to engage with companies on board membership when they think it's an issue. And I've heard Michelle Edkins from BlackRock say that when they see over half the directors on the board with 15 to 20-year tenures, it suggests to them a board that's not looking at itself. And it calls into question the true independence of that board. Some investors think that boards need to be refreshed every few years to allow for different perspectives and to be exposed to current trends. But I don't think they mean a wholesale change in the membership, but just consciously looking at what's working and what isn't in terms of the directors, and from time to time introducing some change. I also think boards really need to understand what it means when investors withhold votes or vote against their members. While it may not be the norm for public companies, term limits are used by some nonprofits to allow for and build in board member turnover. The term limits are more common in some other countries. I just think it's a good governance practice for boards to regularly examine their own composition and determine whether they have the right set of skills and experience given where the company is currently, and then based on its strategy where it's headed. For example, should the board seek to add some Asian experience given that the company is going to be opening offices in China next year, or whatever the issue may be?
Yeah, truly, the global board for many companies continues to be a new thing. So, what are some of the ways boards should go about their succession planning, the practice pointers?
Sure. Well, the topic of the current board composition and the effectiveness of current members often comes up in the board evaluation. You know, does the board have the necessary mix of skills on the board to affect the current strategy, and what additional skills would be helpful? And when directors go through a self-assessment or peer review process, that may actually serve as a vehicle for change on the board. A change in leadership, for example, or an acknowledgement by a director of reduced level of commitment than in the past. I've seen this happen. Also, people know when someone isn't participating at a necessary level, and the evaluation process gives them an opportunity to raise the issue confidentially. I've heard from some board members that they feel they can be more candid with an outside governance consultant when talking about themselves or other board members than they would be with someone internal, or even outside counsel with whom they regularly interact. The process also allows for the board members to identify any educational needs they themselves may have to become more effective. So I think a board evaluation is about board and board member effectiveness, and the results should be included in the conversation about board succession planning. Another aspect is to have some sort of process whereby the board identifies the skills and attributes it feels are necessary for the board to be most effective, a skills matrix or something similar. It doesn't have to be called that, but something where they're looking at each director's skills and experience are compared to those identified by the board, and then any gaps are noted.
Yeah, I worry that some boards still are not using a matrix that when there's an opening that they're asking for referrals from current directors, and that to me that's sort of like the tally sheet. It should be something that every board is using, even though 10 years ago I think it was only a few boards perhaps using them. So who does this succession planning itself? Is it the board itself, or how much help does the corporate secretary provide?
Well, I agree with you on that. I think board members should be looking at this rather than it's just part of a process. You can be more organized about it. So in my experience, the corporate secretary working with the governance committee most likely leads the effort on both the board evaluation process and the development of a skills matrix. And with respect to a matrix, the board members have to be involved. Maybe they self-identify their skills and attributes and any diversity characteristics. You know, in my last project, the board members used an online survey, which was really easy for them. So if there is an in-house capacity to do the work, a consultant can easily organize the project and analyze the results. And for public companies, the work that goes into the proxy disclosure on each director and the skills and experience each brings to the board can be really helpful when building a skills matrix. Also, when I was in-house, I developed a chart for our governance committee that identified, among other things, when each director joined the board, his or her age, what committees they were on, and for how long. And we would note upcoming retirements at least 2 years in advance. And the committee could use this tool as they looked ahead at the needs of the board, again, well in advance of a director's retirement. This is just another tool that can be part of the board succession planning process.
And it's really an easy thing to build. It's either an Excel spreadsheet or even a Word file, or you could even do it on paper by hand.
Right, that's right.
So, of course, we've done all this work. What then? How are these results used?
Well, boards can use the results of an analysis of the existing board skills and experience for their short and long-term succession planning, or for an unexpected vacancy on the board. It helps them to prioritize their needs. The point is that the foundational work has been done. So I just did a skills and diversity survey and analysis for a nonprofit board, and it was really enlightening for the board to have something visual and concrete about its members and their skills. So they're now able to use this information as they contemplate prospective board members, and they're looking more closely at the skills they want to add. The other really important element of having a board succession planning process is that it introduces the notion of expected change on the board. To a board culture where the expectation has been that once you join a board, you often stay as long as you want to. So I think combining the results of a well-done board evaluation with a process to identify the existing and desired skill set of the board will give the board and the governance committee something concrete to work with for their own succession planning. Also, if the board discloses in the proxy that it has such a process as part of its board governance, it has the added benefit of letting investors know that the board's willing to examine its own composition. The ultimate goal, of course, is to have an effective board, and I think having a succession plan or a self-renewal for the plan for the board really supports that goal.
Well, as always, thanks for your expertise, Chris. This is an important topic, and I think boards have definitely been doing a better job over the last decade, but there's still probably some room to grow, and we'll see what happens.
Thank you, Brock.